We are in an interview with Mr. John E. Jones in his home in Fresno, California, on the 15th of February, 1978. Now, Mr. Jones, I would be glad if you could give us some kind of a background on yourself and your family, your father's side of the family, your mother's side of the family, anything you'd care to tell us about your origins.
Well, I was born in Grundy Center, Iowa, in 1895, June 18th. My father was J. Edwin Jones. My mother, Etta Mariah Strickler Jones. Her father was the first elder of the Ivester Church. I forget just what year. My father, at the time that I lived in Iowa, was in a stonemason and bricklayer and a market gardener. That was what he was doing for the last several years that we lived in Iowa. But he was a minister, and he decided that he wanted to do something in the church, for the church. So in 1908, December 1908, we moved to Larned, Kansas, where there was a mission church that the South Church of Larned had constructed, or were in the process of constructing. We held services in our own home until the church was finished. And then we, of course, stayed there then from 1908 to 1914, and they built up a pretty fair church there. But then he got a call from the mission board of southwestern Kansas to go to the East Wichita Church. There was a kind of a mission church there. And he, I think he was soon after that, was a member of the trustee, I guess you call him a trustee board of McPherson College. In 1916, he died at the age of 44. Well, my brother, I have a brother, Dr. Galen Jones. When he died, my brother Galen and my brother Oliver and my sister Salome moved. Of course, my brother and I were in college at the time that, in 1916, when father passed on. So we moved to McPherson. I was a senior at the time, and my brother was a junior. And I finished my senior year, and the people of southwestern Kansas made it possible for us to continue in our college work. They raised quite a sum of money to see that we got through. And after I finished my senior year, I got a job as principal of Ramona High School. And I had that job for a year. At that time, at the end of that year, I was called to the principalship of McPherson Junior High School, a brand new school. I was the first principal. I lived there for, I stayed as a principal of that school for 3 years. In 1918, that was 1917 that I graduated from college. In 1918, I came to Fresno to get married. I had got acquainted with Mary Weimert, Mariana Weimert, who lived there at Larned, and they had moved to Fresno in 1912, I believe. And she had come out here with her family, so I was married to her 1918, August the 18th. And we've, at the end of 3 years there as principal of junior high school, I decided that I had better go back to the university, Yale University, the Divinity School, because I had been elected to the ministry there at the McPherson Church a year or so before that. And my brother was elected to the ministry at the same time, Brother Galen. So for that year, 1921, 22, I was in the student of the university at Yale University. And then I decided that I thought I would be a better teacher than a minister after having gone to that trouble of going to the divinity school. So I moved from Connecticut to California, Fresno, California. And I got a job as a teacher in Kerman Union High School out west of Fresno. And I taught there for 4 years, was a principal of the school for the last year. And in 1927, that was from 1923 to 27 that I was out at Kerman High School. Then I taught a year and a half up at Jefferson Union High School at Daly City. That's at the suburb of San Francisco. I had applied at Fresno in the Fresno school system a year or two before that. So at the middle of the year, of the second year that I was up at Daly City, I got a call to come to Fresno and teach in the Fresno system. So I got a teaching job with Roosevelt High School in Fresno, and I held that position as a teacher of American literature for 31 and a half years. And my wife died in 1969. But after I retired in 1960, my wife and I were able to travel. Oh, we went to three conferences, one at Ocean Grove in 1962, and then at the next year at Urbana, University of of Illinois. And then I think I was member of the standing committee that year for this district. The next year we went to Lincoln, Nebraska. Of course, we took in tours of the country at the same time that we went to those places. I lived in my home after my wife died out in East Fresno. We had built a home there in 1941 on an acre of ground, and we had lived in that home for over 30 years before she passed away. And then after she died, I lived there for 3 years. And then one of my grandchildren, well, we had, by the way, we had two children, a son, Edwin, and a daughter, Louise. My son had, and his wife had, four children, two boys and two girls, and my daughter has two sons and a daughter. And one of those daughters of my son married a young fellow here in Fresno, the name of Lewis McMurray, and after they finished their college work, he took over the managership of their family wholesale hardware business, and they looked for a home. And they wanted my home, so I sold my home to them. Still have a key to the house. And then I moved to an apartment over in a shopping district not far from here. And I didn't like that too well, so I investigated this San Joaquin Gardens retirement place, and I moved out here then. Been here nearly 3 years. I like it very much. I have, as I said, seven grandchildren. The youngest one graduated from college this year from Whitworth College, Spokane, Washington. She's teaching at a Christian school over near Santa Cruz. Her first year, she was lucky to get a job. My son is the principal of junior high school, Vernon Junior High School in Montclair near Pomona. His wife teaches at Charter Oak. My daughter teaches over at Fremont, where they live. Her husband is the principal of an elementary school there.
Sounds like you're school people all the way.
Yeah, one of my grandsons, my son's older boy, teaches sixth grade in San Dimas, down in Southern California. And the older girl, Carolyn, married a college professor They live at Davidson, North Carolina. He teaches in Davidson College, in North Carolina. She has done some teaching too.
Did your son Edward or Edwin attend McPherson College?
No, both my children graduated from Laverne College.
Well, the reason I asked that question, there was an Eddie Jones in school when we were,
but it wasn't so. The
same one, obviously.
Oh, no, no.
I'm not sure where he was from.
I see.
We were in Rowena, and I both attended McPherson and graduated in 1940.
Uh-huh.
I might just add, you strike some real responsive chords when you say what you did. We got our marriage license in Grundy Center, Iowa, because her dad was pastor of the Ivester Church.
Oh.
She lived up there. When you were back in Yale, did you know an Earl France who had graduated from McPherson College?
Yeah.
That's her dad.
Is that so?
My wife's dad. He was back at Yale at just about that time, I know, in the Divinity School.
Is that right?
He would have been around McPherson in those years.
Uh-huh.
And Rowena would have been running around there, too, as a little kid, about 1921 or such a matter.
Well, that's interesting.
So it's a small world.
Yeah, it is. I visited in Grundy Center a couple times since, but once my wife and I went, when we went back to Yale, we stopped at Grundy. For a day or two there. And then just not very long ago, about 4 years ago, one of my friends was working at New Windsor. He wanted somebody to come home with him. So I flew back to New Windsor, Baltimore, and came home with him. And we came the northern route, and we went through Waterloo, and I said, well, let's go down to Grundy Center. That's where I was born. So we went down there for a little bit. Got a couple, 2 or 3 hours, I guess.
Well, that is a most fascinating thing. Like I say, we didn't, I wasn't that familiar with you, but it sounds like you were pretty much the same place as we've been a good deal of the time.
Is that right?
Including your years in McPherson. We've been in McPherson practically all of our adult life. I've been teaching there at the college now for 30 years, so I'm a fixture there.
Yeah, I see. Well, I was in McPherson there for 4 years, in college, and then 3 years as the principal of the junior high school.
Now, that was that high school down, I suppose that would have been the one down where pretty close to town, right?
Yeah.
Between right at the end of Marlin
Street.
Yeah,
it was called Park School
yes.
at the time.
Yes.
And I had the junior high school in the top floor, first 6 grades in the lower floor. And we used the basement, the junior high used the basement too. We had a gymnasium down there, a shop, and home economics room and so forth.
Well, I guess all of our kids attended that school at one time
you
or
did.
Another. Yes,
yeah.
It's been an intermediate school for a number of years. I'm not sure, but it was a junior high when the older ones were there.
I don't know how long that junior high remained in that building. I haven't heard about that.
Well, when they put the new high school on the north side of town, then they turned the other high school into a junior high, and I think made this into an upper grade school.
Oh.
Maybe a fifth and sixth grade school.
That's entirely elementary school then.
Yes, pretty much so. Who was the superintendent when you were teaching there?
Potwin, Mr. Potwin.
Ross Potwin, we knew him. Quite a guy. Let's see, do you remember who might have been in other schools around town, who the other administrators were?
The principal of the high school.
Was Dutch Erlob around there when you were there?
No. I don't recall the name of that man who was at the principal of McPherson High School.
We probably wouldn't know him anyhow, but I just...
No. I want to show you a picture of him in the office one day, and he said, "What's this here about Delphics?" He says, "What do you have, a fraternity?" I said, "No." I said, "It's just a group of fellows that enjoy being together. We called ourselves the Delphics." And there were 10 of us. And
is this picture recorded anywhere else, this large one right here? Do you know?
No, I don't think it is.
Could you tell me who these are from?
This was my brother, Galen. And Herbert Hoffman, this is my picture here. And this is George Earl Watkins.
Right in the middle. Is he still living in Texas?
Yeah. And Floyd Mishler.
He's on the right. I'm saying this sort of for myself here.
And Lester Kimmel.
Bottom right.
Yeah. And Bruce Eshelman.
In the center at the bottom.
Yeah.
Was Ray Cullen a part of this group at any time?
Who?
Ray Cullen?
Yeah, he wasn't in the group when this was taken. We had him in all the last 2 or 3 years. Last 2 years, I think. And we had a reunion back there in about 1960.
Oh, yes.
1968. 1968. John Wesley Maxey was a member of this group, too. And that's Maxey there, and this is I, and Ray Cullen, my brother Galen, and he was Mishler, and Herb Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we looked.
A little bit later, I recognize
later.
Jack Mailhorn on there, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
They gave us a real banquet back there, filet mignon banquet.
Well, say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ray Cullen is my wife's mother's first cousin, I guess, or something
like that. Is
that
so?
And we have been down talking to Ray and Marty about a week ago.
Oh.
We were visiting with them.
Yeah.
And, Ray was a little bit of a prankster on William Macy and again.
This bunch of fellows had a round robin. We started it in 1919, I believe. And we're still writing. There are only 4 of us left. Herb Hoffman and this fellow, and Ray Cullen and myself. The only ones left out of that group.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hoffman's in Abilene, is he or not?
He's in Salina, Kansas.
Salina.
Yeah. That's Herb here, yeah.
Now, we notice in here this group, the We Tip a Keg group. Is that some of the same group?
That's what we called ourselves first. And we thought that wasn't quite... what it ought to be. That's what this, I think Maxey is the one that suggested that name, We Tap a Keg. And we objected to that. So I had taken some Greek, and I said the word Adelphos in Greek means brothers. So let's call ourselves the Delphics.
What about this guy Maxey? I hear stories about him. He was quite a stunt pilot during the war, wasn't
he?
Yeah,
he was.
I think Dayton Yoder told me one time that he had seen John Maxey fly a plane down Maple Street in McPherson between those elevators and underneath the chute. Would this make this about be right for Maxey?
Yes, sir. He took me up. He didn't do any stunting with me, but it is true that he flew down Main Street there, right down under the wires.
Oh, boy.
Just over the top of the cars. Well, that...
I guess he felt pretty confident. I guess he had done that kind of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, he did, but my. And he'd fly that one of those elevators and just go up over it. You know, he'd look as if he was going to slam right into it.
Did you ever hear the story about him taking Kurtz too close to the steeple on Old Sharp Hall?
Yeah.
Is this?
It was at the same time that he took Dr. Kurtz up there.
Was there some story on that he sort of scared Dr. Kurtz?
I think he did. Yeah, well, I was frightened in that thing, too. I was just sitting on old de Havilland, you know, with a Liberty motor. And it was just strung with wires across for braces and so on. And the only place we had to sit was in an open cockpit with nothing to hold us in. I just had to hang on to the board that I was sitting on. And the Maxie was in the front cockpit. There were two. And when we were flying, it was a kind of thunderhead all around. It was a stormy afternoon. And all of a sudden, we hit a pocket. And that thing dropped just 100 feet, just like that. Boy, I was really hanging on.
I would think so.
Oh. Now, he wasn't supposed to be doing that. Maxie was that type of fellow.
Uh-huh.
He was, when in college, he was their pitcher, their prize pitcher for the baseball team. And he was quite a guy. He was an instructor in flying at Kelly Field, Texas, during the war, and then he was still in the Army when he came up there to fly with us, but he had no business taking up civilians. Mm-hmm. He took up 50 people there.
Is that right? Now, his sister was Mrs. J.M. Stutzman, wasn't she?
I don't know much about his family. I knew his brother. I think his brother's name was Cecil. Mm-hmm. I knew him, but I didn't know anybody else.
Well,
I did meet his mother once. Mm-hmm. She lived to be well up into her 90s. Mm-hmm. I think she was living in California at the time, up north here somewhere, with one of her daughters.
Would most of the students at the college at that time have regarded Maxie as too much of a daredevil? Would have been kind of a hero on this? What would the student reaction have been to that?
Oh, he was one of these fellows that, well, he was a very likable guy. He did some instruction in gymnastics there for the rest of us. We built pyramids and things of that kind, you know, under his... He was a likable fellow, but something of a... What would I say? He wasn't very strong in following etiquette, you know. What we might call social etiquettes. He didn't hesitate to break any of the rules.
If you were to think of the professors or students of your student generation that rather stand out in your thinking, who comes to mind?
Well, this group of fellows we were drawn together by actually our mutual admiration of Professor Long.
Yes, you were commenting about Professor Long.
Professor Edgar F. Long, I think as I was his middle initial. He and his wife. We called her Ma Long. They were younger folks, so I don't know why we called her Ma. But we would go down there. This group of fellows would go down to their apartment. They lived in the old Florey home there, and up above. And we had a good time with them. I had great admiration for Professor Long. In fact, I taught a class in the academy for 3 years while I was in college, and Professor Long was my supervisor, I suppose you'd call him.
Did the students teach in the college a good, or in the academy a good bit then? The college students teach in the academy, or was that a little unusual?
Well, I was the only one that was teaching. I took care of the gymnasium in the first year I was there, 1913-14. And I wrote a letter to Dr. Kurtz and told him that I'd like to do something for my tuition that was more constructive than sweeping the floors and so forth. And I said I'd like to teach a class in the academy. Well, I guess he talked with Professor Long, and they arranged it. I taught a class in ninth grade in English for 3 years for my tuition then. I guess that's one reason I got started in the teaching profession.
Well, you probably had a good deal more education than most people that time, didn't you, even when you started in?
I suppose so.
I was under the impression that a very great many people along that era taught school with just a normal course out of high school.
Oh, yes. My sister did that.
Did you have Dr. Harnley as a professor?
Oh, yes. I thought he was a very good teacher. I had at that time, Harvey Nininger was the lab assistant. I roomed with him the last year I was in college.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, not the first. I mean, the first year I was in college, I roomed with him. Then my brother and I roomed together the other 3 years. But yes, he was a senior, and I was a freshman. And I appreciated him very much.
You didn't have any notion he was going to become a hunter of meteorites at that
time?
No,
I had no idea. He didn't either, I don't
think. My impression.
No, I don't think he did. He was interested in biology, primarily.
Would you have felt that most students at that time were pretty serious, were a good many of them focused on, maybe some Christian orientation, or would there have been a lot of relaxed kind of a feeling among the students? Oh, no, I'm not saying very well what I'm thinking, but as you would think of them compared to some generations of students that you've taught, would you think the students then would have been more serious and focused, or would they be about like students in other generations?
Oh,
students in other generations.
I suppose that you might conclude that some of those people were more serious than some of the people I've taught. Although I would say this, that when the first year that I taught here at in Roosevelt High School, I thought that most of the students were pretty cooperative and serious about their work. I don't know. They were much different then, though, than they are now.
Yeah.
Those classes that I taught in the academy there, well, of course, a good many of those people were church people.
Uh-huh.
And in a sense, they were a selected group as compared with a public school class,
yes.
You know.
Or maybe even as compared with contemporary college classes,
well,
where we have
possibly,
so much bigger percentage of the population.
Possibly so. Yeah.
Well, I think we've about used up your 40 minutes. In fact, we
have within one minute.
And we just picked it for us. Like I say, we just didn't have you identified that well. But
this represents the effective end of the conversation, as Mr. Jones needed to leave to take his evening meal in the retirement home facility. Checking, checking, 1, 2, 3, 4, checking, 1, 2, 3, 4.